Good evening. I'd like to welcome you to the meeting of the Board of Education for Washington Local Schools. Today is October 17th, 2018, and it is 6 o'clock p.m. Mr. Faulk, please call the roll.
Mr. Hughes.
Present.
Ms. Canales.
Present.
Mr. Ostro.
Present.
Mr. Hunter.
Present.
Mr. Sharp.
Present.
Also present, Dr. Hayward and myself. Mr. Davis is attending a candidate's night at Point Place?
Point Place.
Point Place.
Yep. I will ask you in just a moment to join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'll ask you to remain standing after we cite the pledge, and Whitmer Choral student Ethan Zeidel will be singing the national anthem for us as well. So again, please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Thank you, Ethan. That was wonderful.
Hey, Ethan, before you leave, you know, when people sing the national anthem, sometimes the words aren't pronounced well. I don't think I've ever heard a national anthem where I understood every word and the enunciation so perfectly. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Excellent job. Thank you so much.
Nice job.
Thank you.
I think we should do it one more time, but I think they should turn around and face the audience.
That was great.
Kids, why don't you come up closer to the desk here? And everybody look over. There we go. There we go.
Oh, you guys, you guys got to do it again. All right.
Paris, okay?
Good deal.
And you can stand up and take your picture.
That is so cool.
Flash mob.
This is a Greenwood K6 flash mob.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Colin.
So cute.
Yeah, move up. Move up a little bit.
Little ones this way.
Little ones, come forward.
There you go.
All right. Yeah, if you're a little shorter, move up.
There we go.
Okay.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Thank you.
Greenwood. Good job, Greenwood.
I was wondering.
All downhill.
No.
Thank you, Mr. Colin. Thank you, Greenwood. Excellent job. Love it. Happy Halloween. Parents, again, if you are here with your child, you're certainly free to leave if you wish. You're welcome to stay, but dinner may be waiting at home, or it needs to be waiting at home. Thank you very much for your children. That was awesome. That was excellent. As folks are filtering out, I would invite members of the community who wish to do so to step forward and address the board. This is a time for community comment. We would ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes in length and keep to a specific topic. As you step forward and address the board, please give your name and your home address. Good evening, Ms. Jen.
Hello. Sorry I didn't sign in. Hello, Jennifer Gent, 2656 Coview Drive, president of the Teachers Association of Washington Local Schools. At this time, I would like to formally notify the members of our Washington Local School Board, our administrators, and our Washington local community that the Teachers Association of Washington Local Schools have unanimously voted in support of Issue 3, our school levy. Decisions affecting our future and the future of public education are made by elected officials at the local, state, and federal levels. Practically every aspect of our school day is decided by our elected officials. We recognize that legislative decisions occurring at the state level over the course of the past decade have negatively impacted public education here in Ohio, including how we operate in Washington Local. These decisions are hurting our students' opportunity to succeed and have put us, like many other districts, in the position of having to reach out to our community in support of additional funding once again. As advocates of our students, we cannot stand for this to continue. We've been blessed over the years to have the strong support of our Washington local community behind us. Now, possibly more than ever, as we are in the public education fight of our lives, we need our community support, not only here at the local level, but also at the state and federal level as well, to help bring about the much-needed changes in public education. This November, we have the opportunity to elect officials at the state level who are committed to funding educational opportunities for all of our children, addressing the over-testing of our Ohio students, keeping our public dollars in public schools, holding charter schools accountable, and fixing our broken educational funding system. I encourage everyone here tonight to visit ohioballot.com to see who are the public education-friendly candidates supported by your Ohio teachers. They have our support because they are aligned with our mission to improve public education here in Ohio. They recognize, as we do, that our students deserve better. They are ready to tackle the issues that are harming our students and our schools. These are the people that we want making education decisions here in Ohio. So on behalf of the 502 TALS members I represent and the roughly 7,000 students that we serve, I encourage you to vote in support of Issue 3 and also to support the public education champions that are on our ballot this November. Through our votes, we have the power to bring about positive changes in public education here in Ohio. Together, we can do this. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Benson. Anyone else? Before we do go to the regular agenda tonight, I am again left with the unfortunate task of asking that we reflect on life here in Washington Local, as another of our students was taken home in the last month since our last board meeting. Senior Javonte Brunson passed away on September 25th as a result of an automobile bicycle collision, which occurred several weeks prior to that. He was described as a spunky kid with a good sense of humor. Javonte enjoyed listening to music, and he played basketball and video games with his brothers. Again this month, I ask you to join me in a moment of silence in honor and recognition of this young man and his family, and that you remember them in your thoughts and prayers, and all families and friends here in Washington Local who have suffered losses, as well as our students and our staff who are also grieving with the loss of yet another member of our community. Thank you very much. Dr. Hayward.
Good evening. At this time, we're going to have a presentation by our Special Education Director, Mr. Neil Rochot, and our Curriculum Director, Katie Spenhoff.
Thank you for allowing me to spend a little bit of time with you talking about what I think we all believe is a very important issue. And I'm going to ask Katie, if she doesn't mind, go ahead and hand those out. So what you're getting is a copy of an outline and then a couple of informational materials. But this is an outgrowth of really Dr. Hayward's leadership and the direction that curriculum and student services, we need to be hand in hand on all decisions regarding student instruction. And we've even come up with a name for ourselves. It's Special Education and Curriculum is now Spuriculum. And so I don't know if we need a board agenda item to approve Katie and I making up words, but hopefully we're okay with that. But this outline, really, four quick points. We're going to talk about needs, the process we use to get here, a proposal, and then next steps. And, you know, a couple Saturdays ago, you had the opportunity to really understand some of the needs. And when we look at the report card, you know, the progress area and also closing the gap are two areas where we can do better. And, you know, our gap closing, and that's comparing students with disabilities performance to everybody else's performance, it's been a relatively flat line over the past few years. And that needs to change. And, you know, with our elementaries, one thing you may have noticed with the progress is just it's different in different buildings. And I think you as a board, and I certainly as a student services director, want to be able to talk with any parent, no matter what building you're going to, your child's going to make great progress. And so that's part of, you know, what prompted this. Another factor you may or may not be aware of is over the past 10 years, there's really only been two district-wide provisions of materials to special education teachers. And one of them is a set of materials that came with our Treasures reading materials, and it's called Triumphs. And the other is some phonemic awareness training in something known as the Hegarty phonemic awareness materials. And so what that's leaving our special education teachers to do is pretty much grab, scramble, find whatever they can. And, you know, we don't have a harder working group of people. They work their tails off, and they're trying to put together materials to make sure instruction's working. And again, I think we can do better than that. And so the process we did is last year, again, under Dr. Hayward's direction, and you recall the year before we had that audit, and it's like, okay, we need to look at how we're structuring our special education programming. So we got a representative group together from each of the buildings and looked at where are we and where do we need to go. And that group identified these bullet points that you can see here. So we realized we need a comprehensive ELA program for students with disabilities, meaning it's going to cover reading, writing, listening, speaking, you know, the language arts areas. It needs to be validated. And so you hear about research-based and evidence-based. You know, research is what happens in a lab. Evidence-based is what happens in the real world. And so we need material that have the support of research but also are feasible and can be delivered by our teachers. We were looking for something that's explicit and systematic, which that's really the definition of direct instruction, that, you know, for most of our learners present, they can make some leaps and make progress. For our students with disabilities, we want to make sure that we teach each step in a process and teach it systematically. Intensive and engaging. What was neat about this group of teachers is two of them, we purposely picked people who maybe had exposure to other materials, and two of those teachers had used what we're going to, you know, propose as a solution for our district. And they both said, like the one talked about her kids who were significant behavior concerns, disruptive, and part of it is because they couldn't engage in the curriculum. Once they started using these materials, behavior dropped, on-task time increased, and students were engaged in learning. We want something with integrity, and we want to make sure that it teaches to mastery, not just, yeah, I taught that, but the kids actually learn it and that they're growing. So that was the task ahead of us, and we looked at 12 different types of products, and some of them were maybe great, but it wasn't comprehensive, so it would address one area but not others. A couple of the materials we looked at, just the training required alone, would have been like a two-week training window where, okay, I don't think we can have our special ed teachers out for 2 weeks to get them up to speed on these materials. So we narrowed it down to what we're going to talk about next. And McGraw-Hill has a set of materials that, you know, at the bottom of your page, you can see corrective reading and reading mastery. And the corrective reading portion, think of that as an intervention. So that's kids who are a couple grade levels below or more, and we need to get them reading and get them moving. Reading mastery is more of a core replacement program for kids who are, you know, in a classroom where all of their language arts instruction is occurring from that teacher. And with those materials, we're looking at something known as Ravenscourt. So I flip to the second page now. And Ravenscourt is a set of classroom reading materials that would be included with this. ToInform is a data monitoring program that would be included. And what's nice about that is it has a teacher dashboard, a principal dashboard, and a district administrator dashboard. So we can all, you know, monitor and stay on top of student progress. It would include Redbird, which is an online supplemental that would work on Chromebooks or iPads and would provide supplemental language arts instruction. And then language for writing would be the writing component. And then there's lots of PD that would be part of the initial startup and then ongoing coaching. So I'm going to stop for just a minute. I don't know if there are questions or thoughts on this so far. All right, so let's move on then to steps. So last spring, we actually invited McGraw-Hill in to talk with our teachers and administrators. And the feedback was uniformly positive. The teachers are eager for materials that are effective, and the principals saw this as something that would be feasible and able to work in their buildings. And then this fall, we did some placement assessment, and that's what that table provides. And this is for the corrective reading. So there's four levels of corrective reading. You can see how many students for each building would fall into each of those four levels. And I want to just talk about like that level A in corrective reading. So level A has 65 lessons. And if a student starts at the kindergarten level or even below, so a pre-primer reading level, those 65 lessons will take them from that kindergarten level all the way up into second grade. And that's less, you know, that's half a year. That's one semester of, you know, instruction to move kids that far. And then each of the other levels, you know, the number of lessons varies, but once they get through level C, they would be a seventh or eighth grade level reader. And so that, you know, and I've talked with directors from multiple districts, we've talked with teachers, and, you know, they're verifying, yeah, you'll get these results. These kids are going to grow, they're going to make progress, and so we're excited about, you know, what these materials could do for our kids. So next steps would be to, you know, bring an executive summary to you that would include a quote and, you know, a specific request for these materials. And then there would be a lot of ongoing work. And we've started some of these things already, but working with administrators and building teams for, you know, a plan in each building. Like if you look, for example, Greenwood compared to Hiawatha, you know, Greenwood has 45 students that this would include. Hiawatha has 10. And so the planning process is going to look very different in those two buildings, where we're really talking about one teacher versus probably, you know, four or five teachers working. So we would meet with each building, identify, you know, how we're going to implement and structure this. There would be an initial training, and it would include administrators, and also a parent component to make sure our parents are aware of what this, you know, new material is and how that works. We'd pick a date to begin, start the rollout, and then McGraw-Hill has really pushed the need for ongoing coaching. So it wouldn't be just start it and see you in June. They would, yeah, they've built in 10 days of professional development where they would come back in classrooms and observe teachers and also model, you know, the instructional delivery. We go through the year. At the end of the year, we would have a meeting with administrators to look at our data, and that's where that to inform comes in to say, okay, what progress are we getting? And then start planning steps for next year. So that's kind of the nutshell on what we've been looking at.
As I'm sure you expect, I have a couple questions. This program is designed for students who are two or more grades below level, and you're starting at kindergarten. How do we identify two grades below when you're starting at kindergarten?
Yeah, and the 2 years below is really for the corrective reading program, and that's a really astute point because, yeah, how would you do that with somebody that young? But the corrective reading really goes from third grade all the way through the senior.
So are we identifying students at the kindergarten, first, and second grade somehow that are going to be going in with this type of curriculum? And how are we doing that?
Yeah, so there is a way to do it. The materials have a screening tool that places the student. And where there's a difference, though, is for K1 and 2 would be reading mastery, which is, you know, the material on the right. And then that's a graded set of materials. So if you're a kindergartner, you're going to be working in the kindergarten reading mastery. Whereas where the corrective reading is an intervention designed to identify kids who are behind and need to make.
Okay, so as you two stand up there before us as curriculum and special needs, this is not just for students with special needs. This is for all students that are behind in their reading. Am I correct?
Right now, we're focusing on students with disabilities. Now, this could be, and some districts actually are adopting these materials for their curriculum. Where this would really serve us well, though, I think would be with what might be known as Tier 3 in a multi-tiered system of supports. And I would like to think that at some point we could expand to that. For right now, we just need to get it up and running with students.
So we're starting with students that have been identified that are on an IEP, yeah, possibly a 504?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this aligned in any way with the state standards? How does that alignment set up?
Yeah, it is. And I didn't bring with me, but they have a manual that shows the alignment, you know, yeah, for every grade level. It's okay. Very highly aligned.
Does this will be used for students that are alternately assessed? Will they not be part of this program?
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not?
Yeah.
Okay, so this will be students who are on an IEP that will be taking state testing?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Does it in any way tie into our guided reading program that we have now?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'll start, but I don't know if Katie wants to add some things. But one way to look at it is, you know, we've got a continuum of approaches, and this is a direct instruction approach. It's a scripted set of materials, and it's very explicit on how you teach reading. And that's kind of over here, and I don't want to speak for you, but guided reading is maybe on the other side. So the way we're looking at it is, you know, our K-3 students are going to go through guided reading. If they're struggling, we've got LLI in place to provide an intervention. So they've been exposed to that, and hopefully by then they're reading and they're on their way. If they're not, my thinking is, let's try a different approach that would be more explicit, would be the direct instruction. And so that's where this comes in. So that, I see them really complementing each other, and they are different methodologies, but
being scripted, it's very similar. My question is, will it be different teachers working with this as opposed to all falling on our reading specialists? Would this then fall also on our intervention specialists?
Yes,
this would be the intervention specialist would be delivering the corrective reading and the reading mastery. Okay.
Is there training set up for those people now going into this so they'll know how to script? Anything scripted needs training.
Yes, yeah, there will be. So they're proposing an initial training that they're proposing to provide at no cost, and then this ongoing coaching. So the training will really have two phases.
Thank you.
I do have a quick question. If I heard you correctly, so level A consists of about 65 lessons. Is that what you said?
Right.
Okay. And by level C, they should be at a seventh grade level.
Mm-hmm.
How long is that period?
Yeah, so that would be, because the B1 and the B2 are going to be about a year's worth of material. So,
a year?
Yeah, and the same with C. So it would be a 3 to 4 year, you know, if they go through the whole program.
I was going to race you to see
how good
this is.
How will this change your delivery model?
That's a really good question, because it will. And one of the reasons is we're making it more uniform. Right now, you know, we've got teachers, and you know, bless their hearts, they've pulled together things, they've developed lessons and materials, but it looks a little different in every building. And again, I think this is part of the leadership of Dr. Hayward, is we need uniform instruction and delivery throughout the district. And so a couple changes that this will result in. One will be, you know, really dedicating that block for literacy. So right now, the special ed teachers are doing a lot of inclusion. They may pull a student for 20, 30 minutes and, you know, do some, you know, specific lessons with. This is going to be, now you're going to come and we're going to, you know, present this entire lesson for that time block. So it's going to increase the time that some of these students are out of their gen ed classes. But the benefit of corrective reading is, okay, we need these kids to read. I mean, it's an emergency if by the end of third grade you're not reading. And if we're not having kids read when they leave elementary, I mean, that's, you know, we need to respond. So the focus is this is a high priority need. And so it's going to be time. And I think the groupings will be affected too, because like if you look at Greenwood, for example, okay, they've got 6 kids who are level A, but there might be 2 or 3 grades. So it may be that the A group is going to pull, you know, these 2 kids from this grade and this kid from this grade. And so there'll be some mixing to focus that instruction on what they need.
Thank you.
Are there any gaps in the curriculum that you've identified in your research here that we need to address or that need to be addressed somehow?
Yeah, that's a really good question, too. And, I mean, the biggest obvious gap is a set of uniform instructional materials that, you know, they'd be really equipping our teachers. What might happen down the road then is looking, you know, this is a comprehensive program, so this will address all aspects of language arts. I think that's where, okay, are there areas that we're not growing fast enough, or we need some additional supplemental materials, mm-hmm. or use what the teachers have. And we have some Morton Gillingham trained teachers, so maybe that comes in to work on decoding.
If we use supplemental materials, though, doesn't that then fall back into the problem that we have right now with every building is a little bit different?
Yeah, and the difference with this would be it would be a district-wide perspective. So if we've got a need district, right now we don't know, but this will have a uniform assessment, we'll know where the kids are making progress, and if there is an area where we're not, then I think we start by, okay, are we delivering the instruction at the intensity level and appropriately, and then secondarily, thirdly, you know, we might look at, do we need to supplement? But that's down the road. That's not even, it's like right now we need that big rock curriculum piece and then start building around that.
What is the anticipated cost of this curriculum?
Yeah, they've provided some quotes. We're still working on that. And so it's right now looking like between $100,000 to $140,000 is the range.
Is there a yearly fee that we are going to have to pay to keep updated, or how does that?
There is, like the Redbird does have an annual subscription fee because that's an online web tool. And then there are student consumable materials. So there are teacher materials and student materials. Some of the student materials, you know, are durable, you keep year after year. Others, workbooks and those kind of things. McGraw-Hill wants our business. They've offered us all of our second year materials at no cost right now. So, yeah, there are some consumables in it.
Thank you. So there's initial training for the teachers, administrators, and parents. Is that
pretty simple training? I mean, is that extensive? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So it's a day of training for each of the sets of materials. So corrective reading, if you're, you know, if I'm a fourth grade teacher using corrective reading, that'll be one day of training for the initial startup. And then we'll have the coach coming in, you know, multiple times during the year.
Okay. And these are 45-minute session, reading sessions, is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Do we have these materials here for us to review individually?
There are some samples, and McGraw-Hill provided us with actually multiple samples last spring. We sent them out to our teachers. They, you know, had a chance to get to know them better. Curriculum's had a chance to review them, and so yes, we do have.
What sort of comments have you heard from teachers on this material?
They are ecstatic and thrilled. Yeah, they, and part of it, you know, there's two ways to look at a scripted lesson. Because it's a different way to teach. And I was thinking, okay, how are teachers going to respond to that? And I actually talked with some teachers in some different districts who are using this. And a couple, they all said the same thing. They said, yeah, maybe at first it wasn't my style, but once I saw the progress my kids were making, I was bought in, I was sold. And, one of our teachers at Warnard Elementary, Amy O'Neill, has used this in another district, and she is like, it is so wonderful because I know what I'm teaching, I know what I'm doing, the kids are engaged, they're on task, the behaviors just completely dropped out of the way once we started using this and
that's great.
You know, in a previous district. So it's the teachers are very excited and very enthusiastic.
Will this be a supplement to our current curriculum or will this replace a curriculum?
Yeah, this will be the special education reading curriculum for the kids who screen into this, these sets of materials. So I replace, like, probably is the better, more accurate word. Yeah, think of it as kind of the core instruction. If you're not in a gen ed class, this would be the core instruction for that group of kids.
Anything else, Mr. Honor?
Not for me.
Mr. Sharp? Nope. Mr. Hughes? Mr. Canales? Mm-hmm. Mr. Rashad? Ms. Fentoff, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Falk, I believe it's your.
Move to Exhibit 2, recommend a Board of Education approve the minutes of the regular meeting September 15th to September 19th, 2018, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Hunter, second by Ms. Canales. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ostrow?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next item, financial reports and investments. First one is summary of cash balances by fund. All cash balances increased by $3.7 million. Revenue was $5.5 million for the month. Expenditures were $9.2 million. Next report is a cash report. Reflects month-to-date and year-to-date. Checks written. Interest for the month was $77,982. And our interest each month continues to increase due to higher rates. Request motion for approval.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Canales.
Second.
Second by Mr. Sharp. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ostrow?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next item, Exhibit 4. Recommend a Board of Education approve the following payments of legal fees as presented. Bricker and Eckert, August Services, $9,874.11. Spanker and Nathanson, August Services, $555.
I'll make a motion.
Motion accept.
Second by Mr. Sharp. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ostrom?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next item, purchases over $25,000. For policy 6320, I recommend the board approve the following request be approved by the Board of Education. Education Service Center of Lake Erie West for $666,585.51.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Canales. I'll second that motion. Mr. Falk, perhaps you could explain to the audience why we have funds being spent in this amount.
The state of Ohio provides funding for the non-public schools in our district. At one time, we had over eight school districts or eight non-public schools. We currently have three. They provide so much per pupil. I don't remember the exact amount. We are their fiscal agents, so the dollars come to us, and then we pay the bills, certain bills from them. It's for the students that that attend those schools. And ESC provides personnel for that, usually a counselor or secretary, things like that, and that's what this is for.
And so they're pass-through monies. They're not.
Yes, we do get administration fee of 4%. It's roughly about, I believe it's around $1 million they receive per total, and a fee that would be $40,000. ESC of Lake Erie West takes their share. We usually end up with around half of that, maybe a little less.
Any questions, comments?
Is it consistently those three schools?
Yes. Yes, there's the non-public schools, not only in our area, but throughout the state, is struggling to stay open. That's why the ones that we've had, they've closed. They're down to three.
Okay.
And some of them are still declining in enrollment.
Right. Thank you.
That's why they want vouchers.
Anyone else? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Ostrom?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next item, 5-year forecast. I will present and request motion for approval. Again, the board received many documents outlining the forecast. I'm going to go through what I call the top 10. Feel free to interrupt, ask any questions you have as we progress. First item is real estate. As you can see, it's pretty much flat for the last 3 years, 4 years. There is a slight increase due to we are going to go through a property revaluation, and we don't know the amount yet, but in January there should be a slight increase in our property values district-wide. This would be the first increase, I believe, in 10 or 11 years. Our property values have declined that long, that many years in a row. So it does reflect that. Our state aid, as we've talked about many times, is capped by 3%. We do not receive additional funding that we're entitled to. Basically, we're supposed to receive around $44 million. The state is providing 30, so we're losing a little over $14 million a year in state funding. They've also are phasing out personal property tax loss payments. At one time, we received personal property of $11.8 million. They promised to hold harmless. Their first payment was $8.7 million, and it's been declining ever since. And it does decline approximately, it'd be about $500,000 a year. And within 7 years, under current law, it would be eliminated. Sometimes the state accelerates that, and sometimes they extend that. One thing we struggle with is we are a mature district regarding property development. So our revenue is minimal growth over the next 4 years. We used to have different pockets of money, such as personal property abatement, real estate and state aid. We're now basically with real estate and state aid. And state aid is capped at 3%. That's not much of a growth, especially when they take over half of that away with other losses that we have. And as you can see, our real estate taxes are basically flat over a period of time. And also move to number four, 2019 to 2020 does reflect a 2% base increase for all staff, and so that's reflected. Also number five, we began self-funded for our health care costs in 2014. We basically froze our premiums in 2019. However, in January 1st, 2019, we are going to reduce our premiums by 10%. There's a savings there of around $500,000 for this year's budget and $1 million going forward in the general fund. This is based on our solvency of our self-funded health care fund. We have made changes. Employees have contributed more. We've also increased co-pays. We've also had significant increases in our premiums last 5 years, so therefore we're reducing the premiums by 10%. And I think we'll be good for this year. Next year, again, somehow our claims have stabilized and slightly declined, so we're in good shape there. Next item is ESC. This is personnel that we pay the ESC of Lake Erie West. Currently, it's roughly $1.9 million. It's the same as the last two years. Next item, number seven, we are forecasting a deficit in 2019 of $1.4 million. This is after deficits of 1.4 million in 2017 and 18. So again, we appear to have stabilized our deficits, but we still have deficits currently and forecasted forward. And one of the reasons that we're on the levy, on the ballot for a levy, is the fact that we are deficit spending. I'm hopeful these budgets go in future. Normally we do budget conservatively. Hopefully these budgets get reduced going forward. Even with the reduction going forward, a tax levy alone won't eliminate our deficit, just like in the past. We are basically, I want to say, we're just moving forward, trying to get the state to provide funding.
Will those funds that we are saving in the health care premiums that you mentioned going forward, are those reflected in these numbers?
Yes. It's $500,000 this year and $1 million going forward. It is a significant reduction of our deficit as well as our cash. Because if you look at $500,000 for this year and $1 million next year, that's $1.5 million in 2 years. You go another year, that's $2.5 million. So there's a significant reduction. And we were looking at in July 1st of 2019 to have a reduction. However, because of a larger fund balance, May and June, because again, we pay our premiums, we pay our claims monthly. So May and June was a very good year last year. So when we did a forecast in May, you didn't expect the claims to keep decreasing, and they have. We've also negotiated a lower third-party administrator rate with Paramount. We also have negotiated with them. There's rebates. Heard a lot about prescriptions. They are now agreeing. We negotiated. They're agreeing. But we negotiated them to share the premium rebates. It's up to 75%. And before, they used to keep all that. So now we are looking at that. The main thing is our costs are declining. And again, and part of the reason we built the cash up is we are a conservative district. And if you look back at our premiums, they were 3.74%, 16.4%, 17, and 3.5 and 18. Those are about the cost of, but prior to that, they were 7.5 and like 13.8 when we first started.
Jeff, you mentioned that even the levy passage will not erase the deficit in the forecast. How much do we anticipate, if the levy passes, will help reduce some of this deficit?
The levy we anticipate to raise approximately $3 million. And even with the property values that may increase, you know, the new tax duplicate, we will still get the $3 million. They will reduce that rate. So right now, of our tax levy, 3.9 is going for operations. If, for instance, let's say the values jump 10%, which they won't, but say they did, they would then reduce that rate 3.9 by the same percentage. We will still get $3 million. It's called a House Bill 920. They adjust that. So the dollars that they certified, which the board approved, I believe, in May, that is the exact amount the county auditor will adjust to make sure we get to receive the funds.
So that basically takes us through 2020. But thereafter, we still have issues.
This is not the first levy that would eliminate the deficits. We're hopefully good things happen going forward. Again, we budget conservatively. One is, you know, the health care was one. Staffing is always a big issue. You know, supplies, utilities. Are we going to have a cold winter or a warm winter? You know, those are all factors that you go into. When it comes to utilities, conservatively to our worst case scenario, because I don't want to be caught short with utilities. We're not going to say it's cold. We don't have the money to pay the bill. So that's kind of built into the budget. And with our LED lights, that's really reduced our electrical. So we've made other changes to attack some of our deficits.
Right. And we've had significant savings because of those lights.
Yes, they recommend, I want to say, $190,000 a year, the light savings are. And we're taking those savings. We paid it up front, so we had the cash. We've always had cash, not always, but the last several years we've had cash. We paid the cash up front, so we didn't borrow. Most districts, nearly every district has done a House Bill 264 project, but they borrowed the money, so now they're paying, I don't know exactly, but with $2.7 million, they might be paying $400,000 a year for the next 10, and they expect the savings to cover that. What we did is we went ahead and paid it up front, and then we use some of those dollars that we're saving. We put new boiler and a chiller in CTC. We also did, a new chiller at Shoreland and a boiler at maybe Jefferson. Can't remember the building. One of those things that we've done. There's a whole list that we've done.
So I wanted to address Mark's question about the deficit spending. The simple answer is if we could take every legislator in Columbus who is supporting the capping of funds to Washington Local, because Washington Local is being capped and many, many districts in the state are not being capped, we would never need another levy.
No.
If Washington Local is treated equitably and fairly the way other districts are, we would never need another levy. It just blows my mind that somebody in Columbus says we're going to treat Washington Local different than we do other districts in the state and cap the amount of money that this district receives. It blows my mind that that is what is considered fair in the state of Ohio, that one district can get $6,000 for every student who comes to their district, but if they come to Washington Local, they don't get anything. And it doesn't make any sense, and it puts all the pressure on the community. And thank God we've been blessed with a great community who supports us. But over 5 years, we've lost $76 million. And that's because we have legislators, and I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican or purple or green, what they're doing is wrong, and it has to change for the future of many districts. But Washington Local is one of the hardest hit districts percentage-wise in the state of Ohio, and it's totally unfair and inequitable.
Amen. It's been really, working on this levy, it's been really challenging because researching this, the cap is killing us, and obviously moving forward, we hope that the legislation in Ohio changes because this is not something we can sustain and continue to ask our voters to do that, because even in Northwest Ohio, we're one of the only districts that has this type of handicap, and it's shameful.
Well, you know, we've all had some discussions with the administration here on this issue, and I think the long and short of it is, after the election, we need to wrangle some of the state legislatures up here and put them in the hot seat and ask them why this is so and how we're going to go about changing it. Because, as Mr. Hunter said, you know, we would not be going back to the voters consistently if Columbus was taking care of its obligation, as has been stated by the Supreme Court, to do so. And so I am fully in favor of dragging some of those legislators up here and
absolutely
putting the squeeze on.
I think we need to get a little aggressive after the levy.
Well,
we need to get aggressive
after the election too, and we see who's put in place and who's not. So that
true
may be helpful.
And this is the fifth year of the cap. When the cap first started, the state was experiencing financial difficulties. I mean, you can debate that. I mean, they were, but you debate they still should have stepped up and helped the schools. But since then, the rainy day fund has grown to $2 billion. They have also ran a surplus last year of about $500 million, and they project at least another $500 million this year. And now they're talking about changing school funding. Every time there's a new governor, again, I've been a school treasurer since 1996, and everything I've experienced, every time they change school funding, it sounds cynical and skeptical, but it saves the money. I would guess that they're going to change the funding formula where we won't be capped, but we won't get any more money. Because if you would ask the legislator, can you explain why you have a funding system, you have a funding formula, but then you cap it at 3% for the public schools, but the non-public schools and charter schools, they're not capped for growth.
No.
So they can go, if they receive additional students, they can go ahead and receive a dollar for dollar. As we all know, they receive more per pupil than we do. They can receive those dollars, but however, for a public school, we are capped. And it is a political football. It always has been about education. And it's a question, you ask a legislator, explain why you're capped. Because 5 years ago, they said they didn't have the money. And you could argue they could do education, they should do education first, but now they have the money. And now they're talking about, instead of funding education, they're going to change the formula again.
Jeff, do we have a hard number or an estimate of how many students in our district are unfunded?
Roughly the size of Whitmer.
So basically, a couple thousand kids.
Yeah, 2,000 students. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's difficult to estimate because there's weights that they use, but we get $6,020 a student.
So multiply that by 2,000.
Well, then there's different weights for career tech and handicap, but roughly it's 2,000 students. Because you take 2,000 times 6,000, you get $12 million. So, again, it is something where you ask, why isn't every student being funded as they are in other districts? And then the state sometimes will argue back, well, we have more districts on the guarantee, which means, like in our case, we're supposed to get $44 million. say that's what the formula runs, but when the state runs their formula, it says 42. They let them keep the same amount of money because of declining enrollment. The funding system they have isn't working. Because as we know, enrollment goes up and down, and the overall enrollment in Ohio has been decreasing. And it's all moving to the Columbus area. The kids, even though the overall enrollment's going, the ones that are growing are in the Columbus area. Around here, we're pretty much flat.
Right.
I mean, Perrysburg's group, you know, a couple hundred. That's in Columbus, the district the same size, might be growing 500 kids. Or 1,000 kids when they're bigger.
Per year?
Per year. Olin Changi's one that...
Yeah.
When I left Ottawa Hills, the superintendent went there. It was 1,000 kids a year for like 10 straight years.
Yeah, that's a very big growing community down there.
And everything's starting to plateau now. I mean, they were building like 2 elementaries, a high school every 3. They had a plan.
Maybe we can get them to tap into that rainy day fund. Let them know it's raining up there.
And you know, again, we're not alone. The city of Toledo, yep. Lucas County, they had local government money. They took that away from them as well.
Yeah, they did.
And I remember the person I worked there says, how can they just do that? I go, welcome to the world of schools.
Mm-hmm.
They do it all the time to us. Personal property is a good example. They replace that with a commercial activity tax, which basically means that they collect the money from the businesses instead of us. And then they said they're going to hold harmless. They did not. That money is staying in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, I've always said, you could argue that the state legislators have done more harm to our district than the Great Recession.
Yeah. We got to make some noise in November here.
Yep. Next item, we do have a rainy day fund of $3.6 million. Our unreserved fund balance is $21.6 million in 19 and $18.5 in 2020. We do have a first deficit in 2023. That is $2.3 million. Again, we don't really concentrate on cash. We concentrate on expenditures exceeding revenue.
And that,
eventually you run out of cash.
And this is what's really disappointing. The previous boards have done a tremendous job of building up that fund. And because of the way the state is funding us, we realistically, in a very short time, that's going to be gone. And that's not going to be beneficial to the school district whatsoever, unless something happens on the state level.
Since 2008, our fund balance went down $10 million, and that is significant. And every year we project, we are conservative, but we are still having deficits. And you know, it's just something that we have to, like we said, we need to talk to state legislators. They're the ones that represent us. Invite them to a meeting and ask them why we're not getting full funding. Because they're not talking now. Years ago, they were saying they didn't have the money, and they didn't. The economy was turning around, and I got that. But now they do, and then since then, they reduced the taxes again. They're probably going to propose that again. That concludes my presentation. Request motion for approval.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ms. Canales, second by Mr. Sharp. Any further discussion?
I would just like to compliment Jeff. You've stayed on top of this. It seems like we address the five-year forecast 5 or 6 times a year. I don't know of other districts that are as on top of their five-year forecast as we are, probably because of, you know, it's such a volatile thing for us. But you do a great job. The one thing I'm wondering about and the investments, and we used to make over $1 million a year in interest.
$2 million.
And I see now that Star Ohio is getting over 2 points. Is our money locked up, or can we start moving more money that direction?
We have. Basically, as you're aware of, we do have an investment. We buy CDs. They pay more than Star. They're 6 months. They're under 250. One thing we try to be is very conservative. I don't want to lose $1. I don't care how much interest we have. We're not losing the principal. So we do CDs. We're also buying treasury bills and things like that pay higher than Star. And you see it is starting to go up 2%. There's discussion it will go up again in December and maybe 2 more. We have a president now that is saying it's going up too fast. The market is reacting, so now it's going down. We do anticipate. The one thing I did going through the forecast, I bumped up from May. We went from 550 to 800,000 interest. I initially had it going down next year, but as rates, because our cash is going to go down, but I do expect rates to continue. So it's another $800,000 in interest. It's pretty significant. $800,000 in interest is equivalent to one mill, one tax levy.
Yeah, well, that's what I was looking at. I thought, you know, some of our local banks are offering 0.4 and 0.8, and we're getting 2 and 2.1.
We keep very minimal amounts of money in banks that pay the 0.1. Okay. I keep money in certain banks in our area because they are local, and if there's ever an issue that we need, we have to keep a minimum balance to keep it open. Mm-hmm. So if there's a problem with a check or something like that, I can work with the bank.
I know you're on top of it. I'm not questioning your abilities. I'm just encouraging you to push more money that direction right now because we're seeing some good numbers.
Yep, and it's STAR. There's two, you know, there's two parts of STAR now. There's actually a long-term and a short-term. What's happening is the long-term one used to pay more money. It's now inverted where the short one's paying more. So obviously we're moving the $2.5 million from the shorter, the one, and moving it back to the record STAR. Good. And we are, and I believe in laddering into the market. Market's rising, so we're not putting a lot of, you know, we're trending a monthly payment in.
Yeah, I mean, I would remember when we were getting $1.5 million, $2 million a year,
like 5%.
Yeah, on our investments, and you know that's a lot of money when you get $2 million 10 years ago because you know it was a different dollar back then.
We've always that. I would say been aggressive. We've always tried to look at other investment options in STAR. STAR Ohio is the benchmark. I won't invest in we won't invest into a document or investment that's less than STAR. So they got to beat STAR. Yep. Now in 6 months, STAR might be beating what we invested in, but over the term of the 6 months, that investment will pay more.
Yeah, it's
so
just
we're always looking at that.
But that
safety is more important than earnings. So that's why we're laddering ourselves in. Any other questions for the roll?
Anyone else?
No.
Again, good job, Jeff.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Great job, Jeff.
Conversation. Ms. Canales has made the motion. Mr. Sharp has seconded it. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrup?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. That concludes my section.
Thank you, Mr. Falk. Dr. Hayward.
Good evening. The October Make a Difference students were honored for exemplifying the core value of teamwork last Tuesday, October 9th. Each month, a new group of students who are making a difference will be recognized for exemplifying one of the district's core values. Principals and counselors nominate students for each month according to the core value featured. The core values are dedication, gratitude, honesty, loyalty, respect, responsibility, service, and teamwork. The 29th annual Candlelight Walk was a huge success. It was a beautiful, chilly night, and we had a great group of parents, guardians, grandparents, and others to help us promote the importance of staying alcohol and drug-free. We had over 475 students in attendance. The 4th through 8th grade essays were judged by Eric Borstels, AP English Literature class, and his students selected those wonderful essays. The high school submissions were carefully reviewed by English teachers. They selected essays that were powerful and well-written. Building principals gave a short 1 to 2 minute summary of the key statements from each of their building essays, and the winning students received a $25 gift card to Target, a sweatshirt, and a certificate. Last night was a true pleasure attending the National Honor Society. They inducted 26 new Whitmer students as members, and it was nice to hear the students recognize a teacher that made a significant impact in their educational career. Upcoming events on Monday night, we have our community night, which will be held at Whitmer High School from 6 to 8:30. It will be a small town event where we will be in sessions, several sessions, where we are hoping lots and lots of people come out for that event and that they are able to have great flexibility in attending those sessions and in small groups. Washington Local Employee Recognition Night is fast approaching. That will be held on Thursday, October 25th at the Tamaron Country Club starting at 6 p.m. There will be dinner, and employees with 15, 20, 25, and 30 years of experience will be honored. This is a busy time of year for the Whitmer Art Department. 36 of our talented students have had their artwork selected to be included in the annual Focus Art exhibit. This prestigious show draws from all of Northwestern Ohio and Lower Michigan high schools. Whitmer routinely takes a large share of the available spots, and this year is no exception. In addition to this honor, 12 of our students have been selected to receive additional awards for their amazing work. We are incredibly proud of our students, and we are also incredibly proud of our teachers and our K-12 art programs for helping mold these students and supporting their talents. That concludes my superintendent report for tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Hayward. Mr. Hughes.
Thank you. A couple things I want to talk about, so I'm going to bounce around for a second here. So, Ms. Jen, thank you. We appreciate Tall's endorsement, and I will get back to talk about our other endorsements. More support for Washington Local is great. I know the last board meeting we celebrated Mr. Hunter's 25 years on this Board of Education. We recognize that. And I just wanted to give a memory that I had. Back in 1994, I think that around the first year you were on this board, I remember I just graduated from Whitmer, and I thought, who's this young guy with blonde hair? He didn't fit. He was young. And I remember seeing that. And I remember one of my first memories was Mr. Hunter being on WTLL, being interviewed about non-smoking in the Whitmer Memorial Stadium. And I remember at that time being a young kid, I'm thinking, wow, he got the shaft. They really dumped on him because he's the one that has to tell everybody you can't smoke in the stadium. That board really gave it to him. And he eloquently, you could see he was like, we're not going to smoke anymore in the stadium. It was a really good interview, and I remember that thinking, wow, but you've really come a long way from that moment of that young blonde guy that got stuck telling everybody they can't smoke in the stadium anymore. And who would have thought 27 years later that would... who would smoke in a stadium? But... congratulations, and thank you for all your service you've provided to Washington Local.
Thank you very much, Mark.
So I also wanted to give thanks to OPSI for their endorsement of our levy, as well as Teamsters Local 20. We did receive Lucas County Democratic Party's endorsement for this levy, as well as AFL-CIO. I'm not sure if any other endorsements have come through at this time, but I also want to thank everybody who has been working on it, Lisa, my co-chair here, Dr. Hayward, Jay Merritt, who's been putting up a bunch of signs and all over this community, as well as Jeff, who with Dr. Hayward has been going around to all these different parent clubs speaking about our levy and what they cost and all these Facebook Lives I forced you guys to do, but you've done a great job with that as well. And Jerry Bell for your mugshot. We really appreciate that on the 10,000 levy. Or 10,000 flyers that are going to be going home to the different people. But I also wanted to reiterate some of the things that we already talked about, and I'm glad that as a board we just did bring this up during Jeff's presentation. One thing that I've learned now being on this levy committee is how poorly Washington Local is funded. When we look at the fact that we've lost approximately $14 million a year for the last 6 years and about $77 million that the state has not given us because we're capped. Think about that. An unconstitutional funding structure that's been ruled unconstitutional four times, and the funding structure that this state still has in place, they're still not even giving us what they say that is due to us. That is, we're doing a great job, but we can't continue this. When we look at the fact that ECOT, a failed educational online school program, took almost $2 million from the school district. When we have a kid that leaves our school to go to a charter school, we figure that out, that that's $9,300 they're taking from us. And if somebody moves into this district and goes to a charter school but never went to our school district, we could lose another $9,300. We figured out the state has recognized about 251 FTEs or full-time equivalent students that reside in our district that we're funding for them to go to a charter school, and all but one are performing much less than we are. We are sending our kids to other, our kids are going to other charter schools that are performing less than we are. Charter schools are not held to the same standards. They do not have the accountability that the public schools have. We have to go back to our taxpayers and ask for those dollar amounts. Charter schools don't have to do that. They just can take our money. How the state has funded us and what the state has done to Washington Local is a travesty. And it's sad to see what's happening. And I'm glad that we all discussed that, and I do believe after the November elections, we definitely need, and I encourage this board, our community wants us to be go after the state. I've heard that. I hate to use it like that, but we definitely need to be aggressive. And I hope this board follows through and that we start making our legislators in Columbus accountable and bring them up here. Because this cap can't continue. We cannot continue going down this road. And to think that if we had $77 million additional, what this school district could do is astonishing. And it's sad to think that that is what they're doing to us, but it's also, I want to say kudos to everybody that works for this district, this Board of Education, our superintendent, because we've done a great job with the funding that we have, but our backs are against the wall. And I'm really encouraging everybody, please, to consider voting for this levy. We really need it. I know people have had concerns. Let's move forward. Help us write that next chapter, because without you, we can't be great Panther Nation. We won't be able to reflect memories of him telling people that they can't smoke in the stadium anymore. We have to be aggressive. And I'm asking for this district's support, and let us do our job to move forward and challenge the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hughes. Keep after it, man.
Well said. I'm not sure I have anything more to say, even though I did. I'll just throw this out that, you know, Mark, I just want to thank you. There's so much. Mark and I talk probably every day, maybe too much, but about the levy and the things that are going on. And I just want to publicly thank you for all that you have done behind the scenes. And Susan has done an amazing job of being out there and getting Jeff out there. I've said this before, this board, you know, it's important that we work together to win this together. And so there's been a lot of time that is spent, I know, with you guys doing that live, which I think is hilarious. You guys are doing a great job. But I think those questions are being answered that the community wants to hear. So I just publicly want to thank you for all that. You're very, very busy up in Michigan. But you spent a lot of time that people, I think, don't see behind the scenes. Ms. Gent, thank you again for the endorsement for Tolls and OPSI. We sincerely appreciate it. And without kind of repeating everything that you've already said, I am ready to go after the state. So I encourage this board. I'm looking forward to seeing who wins those elections in November. And it's time. We have sat back for so long, and we've talked about this. It's 5 or 6 years, and Washington Local deserves more. And so I'm ready to challenge that. So I'll be ready. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Canales. Mr. Sharp?
Okay. Well, I'd like to say thank you to Ms. Bev here and Melissa and Jill that work in the administration building. I came in last week to look for some literature to pass out at a levy lit drop. We were knocking door to door. Mark and I went out door to door, we couldn't find anything offhand, so I told them I would recognize them today. They offered to work through their lunch to help me out, and luckily we came up with something so they didn't have to give up their lunch period. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. So as we know, it's October. It's Fire Safety and Prevention Month. We got an update from the treasurer today about the fire dampers. I recommended the fire dampers last month, Jay Merritt went through and found a contractor that was certified. Is what my recommendation covered, was the certifications for the dampers. I think that's very important. What a fire damper does, if you don't know, whenever we go breach a firewall, the dampers are there to stop the spread of smoke in case of a fire. So they have like a fusible link in there, and they detect heat. And if it gets too hot, the damper shuts. It'll stop the smoke from entering different parts of the building, obviously, and smoking our kids out.
It means a lot to me. I'm actually certified in National Fire Prevention. I'm certified in safety and first aid, obviously CPR, and I have OSHA training as well. And I also hold a Toledo fire alarm license. So I'm very well practiced at these things on a job. And it meant a lot to me to see that this this got taken care of. I did make something up. I'd like to pass these down, if you could pass these down. And I'm going to read this out loud, if you guys can just follow along with me. This is a resolution to approve fire and smoke damper products used in HVAC ducts to prevent the spread of fire and smoke inside the ductwork through fire-resistance rated walls and floors. Whereas the month of October is Fire Prevention Month, the Washington Local School Board has a responsibility to ensure that all students that attend Washington Local School Districts are safe. Whereas the National Fire Protection Association, NFPA, an international codes and standards organization, recommends that dampers shall be tested and inspected every 4 years in order to ensure their working order and to verify that there is no damper interference or penetration by any foreign objects. So object going through the damper would prevent that from shutting. We want to make sure that that doesn't happen. Whereas the Washington Local School Board determines that the creation of the Washington Local School District Fire and Smoke Damper Program is in the best interest of the school district to ensure that the fire and smoke dampers in the school district buildings are in working order to prevent the spread of fire and smoke inside walls and floors. Also, whereas in consideration of the above, now therefore be it resolved by the Washington Local School District that Section 1, the Washington Local School Board determines that the creation of the Washington Local School District Fire and Smoke Damper Program is in the best interest of the school district to ensure that the fire and smoke dampers in the school district are in working order to prevent the spread of fire and smoke inside walls and floors. Section 2, the board hereby directs the superintendent to create rules and procedures to implement the Washington Local School District Fire and Smoke Damper Program. Section 3, the fire and smoke damper unit testing and inspections shall be conducted in accordance with NFPA standards. That testing and inspections shall be conducted by technicians or contractors who have been certified by the IICB, International Certification Board, and the American National Standards Institute, which is ANSI, to ensure the quality and knowledge of the inspection process. Section 4, if life safety damper systems are found to be faulty or inoperable, repairs or replacements shall begin as soon as possible and completed within 60 days from the date the system was found to be faulty or inoperable, that all repairs or placements of the fire and smoke dampers shall be completed and approved by technicians and contractors who have been certified by the International Certification Board and ANSI, and that the companies with the repairs or replacements shall be monitored by the Washington Local School District Facilities Department. Section 5, results and documentation of the testing and inspections shall be given by technicians or contractors to the District Facilities Department within 30 days of the completion of each end. The director shall maintain the reports until the next testing and inspection is completed every 4 years. Section 6, this board finds and determines all formal actions of this board concerning and relating to the adoption of this resolution were taken in an open meeting of this board, and that all deliberations of this board that resulted in those formal actions were in the meeting open to the public in compliance with the law. And finally, Section 7, that this resolution shall be in full force and effect from and immediately upon its adoption. So with this, I'd like to make a motion that we adopt immediately this resolution for our fire damper systems.
We have a motion by Mr. Sharp.
So moved.
Is that a second?
Yes, sorry.
I'm not entirely positive, the discussion.
I'm really against this, and for several reasons. Number one, in all respect, I've never seen this before.
Okay.
And you are requesting us to have activity created within 30 days of something being found. I don't think this has been looked at by our maintenance department, our legal department, and it says effective immediately upon adoption of this.
Correct.
There's a lot of things here that I don't even know about personally as to whether what liability you're putting the district in on some of these things. Okay. I'd prefer to let Jeff and Jay look at it before we vote on it. I may be very willing to vote on this.
Okay.
I just have never seen it. I don't know. You know, I mean, some of these things in here look like I'm just not comfortable voting at this time without knowledge.
Okay. Well, and with this in mind, too, Jay told me that we had the inspection done. So far, everything looked good. We did have, I didn't read this out to you, but we have 20 fire dampers at the CTC, 15 fire dampers at Meadowvale, and five fire dampers at Greenwood. And they issued an order from Sperling Heating and Venting for the testing and inspection of those dampers. So what I had in mind with this was that we would prevent any issues going forward, so that this would show the district that we are taking all measures possible to prevent any catastrophes with fire.
And I understand. I think what you're saying is wonderful, but you are demanding 60 days. Not you.
Right.
The resolution is demanding completion within 60 days of the date. It talks about repairs and replacements.
Right.
I don't know that this is all possible. I don't know what our current policies are. I'd prefer to have this be looked at and then brought to us ahead of time.
Right. And I actually thought I was being a little conservative with the days of.
I agree with Mr. Hunter on this, because Ms. Sharp, what you're doing is you're creating a legal responsibility for
Correct.
Us, and we have not had this reviewed
Okay.
by our own people, by Dr. Hayward, by our legal department.
Okay.
And if there is any deviation from this
Right.
without us being fully informed, you expose us to liability with
Okay.
that. And I would not vote at this point. Again, I Okay. may well support it later.
Sure.
After there's been a full analysis, but it's very dangerous for us to create
Okay.
that sort of liability.
Now, and if this
take on that responsibility,
and if this were not to pass tonight, is this something that we could get
on
another board agenda going forward, maybe after we get this looked at?
Yeah.
Okay. Because to me, this is a big deal to me, and I think that for us to have the smoke, going to that safety meeting down in Columbus. I keep reiterating the words that came to my mind down there is it'll never happen here, and I want to stop that from happening. And this has been on my mind quite a bit. So I typed up this resolution myself.
And understand, Ms. Sharp, there's all sorts of issues of that nature, but we can't take on personally all of those issues.
Okay.
There's policies and procedures for getting those things done.
Okay.
Again, a thorough review would really be necessary before the board would vote to adopt such a policy.
Okay.
We do have a motion and a second. Do we need to vote, or can we withdraw those, Mr.
You can make a motion to withdraw.
I think we should at least go through with a vote and see where we're at. See if we got five no's, It's just the way I feel.
Yeah, he's got an illegal vote there in a second. I think the vote should
That's
happen.
That's fine. That's fine. Any further discussion?
Mr. Sharp, I'm probably not using the correct term. Is this supposed to be regulated already, or?
We had a small conversation
about this before.
Yeah, with the state recommends that you have this done every 4 years. It should be inspected by a certified technician. And, ICB, I'm not sure who holds those certifications, or if we've even looked into who holds those certifications. I know Jay found somebody that does hold those certifications. So to me, we already have a contractor in line to do this. So it's something we're already doing. So why would we not adopt this, regardless of, what the language says in here? I don't see how that's going to hold us liable for anything other than just making sure that we make the repairs as we find them.
Is this a compliance issue? Compliance issue?
I believe so. I mean, I don't know if we've done this before in the past other than just having a...
But I know we've talked about that there has been policy law changes. I just wanted to make sure that this follows the law, because I do know we have, and I think our last board meeting this got brought up, where one of the reasons we had the smoke dampers checked was because this change, the policy did change.
Let's say my issue is not the damper situation. My issue is that it's kind of a surprise to the board, which, I would like to look into. The second thing is it says it's effective immediately upon adoption, which would be tonight, and it's requiring the superintendent to create immediate action as of tonight.
We already have that action in place, though. I mean, we do have somebody on that immediately already. Well, so, I just kind of figured I'd put that in there.
Yeah,
just so
and you said you wrote it yourself, which is great, and I appreciate what you're doing. The problem is, when something like this comes before the board and it requires action, I would like to have the legal terminology reviewed before I look at it. Like I say, some of those things kind of scare me, just in what it could hold us as far as liability.
Right.
I have no problem this coming back to the board after it's been reviewed and things. I would just say, let's get the vote and you know, hopefully we don't support it tonight, but I would certainly want to support the future.
Now, is this something we can make an addendum to if we did find any types of issues in it, if we did pass this?
You can always make an addendum.
We can always make an addendum. So I say we get this in tonight.
What you're saying is once this, you put this in and something happens in a week, we're legally obligated for this.
Just
generally,
with a
resolution, we do get legal counsel.
You've exposed the district to liability that we did not have at this moment.
I don't see. I mean, just explain to me. I mean, liability-wise, all it's saying is we're going to make the repairs.
If there is a violation right now, and I don't know.
Right.
And we pass this resolution, we now have automatically exposed ourselves to liability.
Okay. Like I said, liability.
Again, there's no reason why we can't delay it to have it reviewed by legal counsel and the proper people in the district who can, you know, who are familiar with this particular process.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, can we just call
Jay?
The whole
did time? You have anything to add to that?
No, I don't want this. Doesn't need to involve others. We just need to deal with the issue right now.
Okay. Can we call a vote on this or no?
Any other discussion?
I guess not.
I'm sorry. I just, I don't think we need to involve the audience.
He raised his hand. He had something to say, so I just was trying to give him a moment to speak if he needed to.
Okay. As a courtesy, Mr.
I'm very concerned about the 30-day because some of our dampers are old, and I don't know if they find something.
Okay. Well, I mean, if we took action within 30 days, making the improvement within 30 days, if we're working on the improvement, my problem is if we're delaying life safety with a smoke damper, I mean, what kind of message are we sending here? You know what I mean? This is something that's very important. If we were on a lockdown and had a fire, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to let the corridor fill up with smoke because we didn't want to spend the money to fix a damper? That's just my problem. And you know more about liabilities than I do, Tom. I understand that. I just don't understand what the liability is other than just making the improvement and fixing the problem. So that's just my stand on it, and I don't see what the problem is.
I apologize, Ms. Canales.
No, that's fine. I just wanted
I didn't mean to.
He was raising his hand, so I just wanted
fine.
To
I
clarify.
Apologize.
That's fine.
Any other discussion? There being none, Mr. Fogg, please call the roll.
Mr. Hughes.
Yes.
Ms. Canales.
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrop.
No.
Mr. Hunter.
No.
Mr. Sharp.
Yes.
Motion passes 3-2.
All righty. Any other things, Mr. Sharp?
Thank you.
Mr. Hunter?
You want my comments?
Yes, sir.
Okay. First of all, I would certainly also, I don't know if Jenny's still here. Jenny, thank you very much. It means a lot when you have your staff supporting a levy, and particularly I think in a school system, I'm not taking any away from OPSI, but I think when the teachers are saying that, you know, we need to do this, I think it's a major item for the public. I mean, the teachers seem to be that name that, you know, people associate schools with and teachers. I thanked OPSI last month. That means the world to us. But I think the fact that our teachers are there, it means an awful, awful lot also. Thank you for that. I also was going to just mention the NHS thing, but Dr. Hayward always said, I like the NHS thing because the kids pick a teacher who's made a difference. And to me, that's always a cool thing that, you know, teachers are recognized when it comes to National Honor Society. The one thing I've been asking for years and years, I think 26 is a terrible number for NHS. I think that number should be 50. I was a National Honor Society advisor at the school I work at. And, you know, National Honor Society, these kids are so dedicated to service along with their grade points that I would like to see more kids whose service is something that encourages them. And I would really like to see the National Honor Society push harder to get more membership because of the service requirements. But that's just my personal feeling. I just think Washington Local has more than 26 kids that should be inducted. It was really nice tonight having that student sing the national anthem as well as the students doing the flash mob. I think that's really what Washington Local needs to be recognized as. Maybe that flash mob should be the commercial that we play for the levy, because that's really what it's all about. That flash mob was the levy message that we have. Jeff, the five-year forecast, yeah, I know you keep pushing it and talking about it, but it could not be any more important that someone realizes that this district is concerned and pushing real hard on that. I guess that's all I want to comment. I do want to say one thing, then, and I probably, Jay, you've probably been stepped on tonight once, but I can't stand the ramp at the auditorium. It's terrible. I mean, my gosh, I sat in there and looked at that. That ramp takes away from everything going on in the whole building. I sat there looking at it. I'm thinking, how can we have a play with that frigging ramp there? I mean, it just looks terrible. We have to come up with something, because that's not good.
We're working on it.
Yeah, it just, okay. It just bothered me all night.
No, you and me both, man.
Yeah, it was just terrible. So that's all time.
Thanks, David. I also want to thank Ethan for his beautiful performance tonight. That was awesome, and just an excellent example of the great things happening here at Washington Local. You did a phenomenal job, and thank you, Mr. Colon, for your flash mob. That was excellent, and I agree with Mr. Hunter. I'm going to second that motion to include that in our levy material, because that was excellent, and I enjoyed that certainly. Ms. Gent, again, thank you as well for your calls. I agree with Mr. Hunter there as well. And again, I always seem like I get his seconds, his leftovers here, but I appreciate the fact that the teachers are behind this endeavor. And again, OPC last month supported us, and I do think it speaks volumes that the teachers are behind this as well. And I thank you for that. Mr. Falk, the five-year forecast, again, I thank you for that and the quality of that work.
It's like deja vu.
It is.
You guys are all becoming experts.
Hey, can I say something about your five-year forecast?
I'm ready to retire. I want to thank Mr. Davis, who is not here tonight. He is out campaigning on the levee with Point Place, as Mr. Falk had said earlier. He's speaking to the folks out there on the candidates night. But I want to thank Mr. Davis, the principals, the art teachers, and all the students. I laid down a challenge last month to have the walls filled with art. It is absolutely beautiful. And again, just another example of the great things happening here in Washington Local. And I would encourage you to keep adding to that wall and these walls. I love it. It's absolutely beautiful. And again, just a sign of everything that we do here that is absolutely wonderful. I had an opportunity this about 2 weeks ago to attend the social media program that was hosted over at Whitmer by Digital Empowerment. Frank Scott really addressed some really hard-hitting issues about social media and parents' roles and obligations with respect to that. I was sorry that there were not more folks there, because I think he had a really excellent message. And I understand he is going to have a continuing presence here in Washington Local, and I think we really need to be really better educated about social media, and certainly our children are very tuned into it, and we need to be aware of some of the things that are going on there, because it's absolutely very serious. Also was at the National Honor Society last night. I sat next to Ms. Martin and made the comment that I hate sitting in the front row. I'm a back row sitter. I like to get a full view of everything that's happening. And I also got a real smart comment from Jason Schreiner, who is obviously a teacher for Washington Local and also my neighbor. He said, did the railing get inducted into the Honor Society as well when I posted that on social media? So I agree. I mean, I even made comments to Dr. Hayward. We got to do something. It really does distract from the beauty. I understand the need for a ramp there. We can't rely on mechanical, as we saw at the graduation this year.
Right.
I was absolutely appalled that we had kids who could not get to the stage. So there is definitely need for a ramp, but we need to have something better done in that absolutely beautiful facility. Dr. Hayward made mention of the community night on Monday next week. I really want folks to get the word out that all the board members are going to be present. We're going to have five different forums going on at the same time, over five different sessions, and really encouraging people in the community to come out, hear about what's going on, hear about the levy, hear about issues that are impacting Washington Local, and get some real questions answered and some... Five minutes, please. Is that what it says?
Recess.
Oh, 5 minute recess. After I'm done or before?
Yeah after.
Okay. Sorry. I'll speed that up then. I apologize. Employee recognition dinner. Dr. Hayward mentioned it as well. We actually have a 35-year employee as well, and I'm really going to be excited to attend that event. The Ohio State School Board Association is having their capital conference the second week of November. And when I first came back onto the board back in January, I laid down a challenge to Dr. Hayward that I wanted to see a Washington Local student group participate in the Student Achievement Fair, which is a part of that conference. And I'm thrilled that Jamie Squibb is bringing some of her technology engineering students who are going to participate in the Student Achievement Fair on Monday the 12th. Connor Bell, Isaac Bernhardt, Reed Furman, Zoe Gasser, Ronnie Groden, Victoria Heck, Hunter Huffman, Peyton Kramer, Leah McIntosh, McKenna Mee, Jayla Qualls, Ryan Scott Fultz, Caleb Sharp, and Serenity Thomas are all engineering students who are going to be joining us in Columbus and presenting, and I'm absolutely thrilled that they are going to be there. It is my favorite event at the Capitol Conference. And again, in recognition of Mr. Hughes and his contributions to the levy, get out there and vote, folks. Support Washington Local. And that's the end of my spiel. And Mr. Hunter has asked for a five-minute recess. It is 7:37, five-minute recess. We're back on. Normally, Mr. Davis would present his recommendations or comments or report tonight, but again, he is not with us, so we'll go back to Dr. Hayward.
Exhibit 7, gifts and donations. Meadowvale Parent Club donated $3,500 to go towards the purchase of sound-reducing panels in the cafeteria and gym at Meadowvale Elementary. Lane Bryant, AdoptAClassroom.org donated $196 to be spent on supplies for the Meadowvale Elementary Kindergarten Classroom and the students. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education accept the gifts and donations as presented.
Motion to accept.
Motion by Mr. Sharp.
I second that.
Second by Mr. Hunter. Discussion?
I knew what we used to do years ago, but when we receive donations from people and groups, is there a letter that comes from the superintendent, the treasurer? The treasurer sends a nice letter? Well, $3,500, that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. And that's super.
Oh, we send letters.
Nice.
Send flowers, I think.
Lisa.
Dave wants flowers. Can we afford that?
Is that a motion?
We have a motion by Mr. Sharp and second by Mr. Hunter. Any further discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ostroff?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 8, Whitmer High School graduates. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education record as official the names of the five Whitmer High School graduates, class of 2018, as presented.
So moved.
Second. Mr. Hunter, second by Mr. Sharp. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ostroff?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 9, CTC Advisory Committee members for 2018-2019. Advisory Committee members consist of authorized volunteers that, through their input, help to maintain quality and relevant workforce programs. The 14 advisory committees at Whitmer Career and Technology Center are Administrative, Automotive Technology, Computer Networking Technology, Construction Technology, Cosmetology, Criminal Justice, Culinary Arts, Digital Graphic Design, Engineering and Project Lead the Way, Job Training, Media Arts, Medical Academy, Teaching Professions, and Welding. Committee members include local business and industry professionals as well as community members. We value their time and involvement. Of the 121 individuals serving, the superintendent recommends that the Board of Education approve the Whitmer Career and Technology Center Advisory Committee members for 2018-2019 as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Canales.
Second.
Second by Mr. Hughes. Discussion?
So about 29 years ago, this young blonde-haired guy joined this advisory committee. He wasn't on the board at the time, but this committee I've been on for probably real close to 30 years. This was probably my first real involvement with Washington Local in any official manner. So I've been was on this longer than I've been on the board.
Are you going to stay on it after you're done with the board?
Oh, I never. Nobody ever asked me that. I don't know. We'll see.
You just were.
That's a yes. Fill
that in. But it's been a pleasure to be on this, and I'll tell you, if you look at all the names on here, these are people from the community and people from the business, experts in their field, and this is really a plus for the kids in the classroom that they are getting hands-on knowledge and information from people who are professionals in the field that they are pursuing. So it's a great group of people.
Is our welder instructor still Craig Donnell?
It is.
Is it? Great guy. He taught me how to weld. And I actually welded something today, and he would have been totally disappointed. So that is a very tough job, a highly skilled profession, and those kids are going to make a lot of money coming right out of high school.
Yeah. Yes. Just a shout out. This is a very impressive list. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for those that are in the administrative and just these community members who can't do that. We are our CTC, when we go to the Ohio School Board Association, we are second to none. It's an amazing program.
Any other? There being none, call the roll, please.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ostrom?
Yes.
Mr. Honor?
Yes.
Sharp?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 10, job descriptions. The job description of executive assistant to the superintendent has been revised. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education hold the first reading on job description as presented.
So moved.
I move to waive the first reading.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Motion to waive by Mr. Hunter, second by Ms. Canales.
Is this our conversation, Susan, that we talked about earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Discussion on that? There being none, call the roll.
Mr. Ostrom?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education approve job description as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Hunter, second by Ms. Canales. Discussion? Why are we eliminating on item number 10 maintaining a file of election information?
Because you're not allowed to do that.
We're not allowed to maintain information?
No, that's being added. Are you talking about the crossed out 10?
I'm sorry. I apologize. Yes, the crossed out 10.
Assisting with the levy campaign publications and act as a liaison to the Citizen School Advisory Committee.
I understand that part, I agree with removing that, but why are we also removing maintain a file of election information?
We just rewrote it more clearly in the next part of number 10.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Hayward. I actually do like how this is written.
Any other discussion? Call the roll.
Mr. Ostrom?
Abstain.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0 for abstention.
Exhibit 11, the superintendent recommends that the Board of Education enter into executive session 2. Number 2, consider the employment of a public employee or official. Number 9, consider the purchase of property for public purposes. Number 18, discuss details relative to the security arrangements and emergency response protocols for the Board of Education.
Motion.
So moved.
By Ms. Canales. I will second. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Hunter.
One moment, please.
Susan, was it 2, 9, and 18?
2, 9, and 18.
Thank you.
Can we add number 12?
Okay.
Anybody okay with that if we do amend that to number 12?
Dr. Hayward just needs to recommend it.
Yeah.
Number 12, consider information that concerns a dispute which is or may become subject to litigation or other legal proceeding and would be harmful to the interests of the school district if disclosed to any opposing party or parties.
I need a new motion and a second, please.
So moved.
Motion from Mr. Hunter. I will second. Do we need to withdraw the previous motion, Jeffrey?
We've already moved on.
Okay.
We already went ahead. We can't have amended it, but then we motioned, so.
Okay. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Sharp.
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ostrup?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0 in executive session at 7:52 p.m.
Let the minutes reflect that at 8:37 p.m., the Washoe Local Board of Education returned from executive session, having in fact considered the employment of a public employee or official, considered the purchase of property for public purposes, considered information that concerns a dispute which is or may become subject to litigation or other legal proceedings and would be harmful to the interests of the district if disclosed to any opposing party or parties, discussed details relative to security arrangements and emergency response protocols for the Board of Education, items number 2, 9, 12, and 18. All five members of the Board of Education returned from that executive session. Dr. Hayward.
Exhibit 12, personnel. Tonight's agenda includes the retirement of Richard Merritt and Carol Kruthrop. Jay joined the district as a sub in August 1984 and then received a contract to work here in January 1986 in a custodial position. Jay later was hired as maintenance supervisor for the district in March 2000, and he will retire at the end of December with 33 years of service. Carol joined the district in October 1994 as a classroom aide. She later moved to warehouse transportation secretary and transportation in April 1997. Carol will retire at the end of December with 24 years of service. We extend congratulations to Jay and Carol on their retirement and wish them the very best. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education approve via consent motion personnel items as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Hughes.
Second.
Second by Mr. Sharp. Discussion?
So my first thought is I'll just vote no. My second thought was I'll abstain. But for the betterment of the district and all those names on there, I will go ahead and support this.
Mr. Merritt, the most valuable employee in Washington Local? One of the most. Mr. Merritt, you will be missed. Maybe.
Maybe.
About an hour, it's sitting right there.
Any other comments, questions, thoughts?
I will just say that obviously we're not ready for any of that either, but what I forgot to just mention is what some know or don't know is the Angel Outreach Program. When I think of you, I think of many things, but I think of your consideration of the organization that has been going on for 23 years. And you and I have had many conversations about more than half of 75% of what we serve is from Washington Local. And I appreciate that you are always there for us. You're just always a phone call away, so we appreciate that too on that level.
There being none, Mr. Falk, please call the roll.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ostrom?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yeah.
Motion passes 5-0.
I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Canales? I will
Can I
second
the
motion.
Too?
No, you can't second. I will second that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Ostrom.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ostrom?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Let the record show the audit recording's meeting is made. It's on file in the Office of the Treasurer. Meeting stays adjourned at 8:41 p.m.